Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, attention management, distractions, part two. Here we go. Okay, all right. So I took us away from kind of the action steps you wanted to talk about. So let's get to the action steps.
Action steps. A, or number one, schedule time for email. Okay? We have covered this before, lightly, I felt like, in our previous cast, Got Email. But we want to cover it again, because as you said, time is the most precious resource. Okay. Now, look, the reason email is the biggest waster of our most precious resource is because Parkinson's Law, work expands to fill the time allotted to it. And because when it comes to email, we don't allot any time to it. It fills up every unscheduled moment of our day because we have to do it and we don't schedule it. And that is the fundamental error that people make with email. We have to do it and we don't schedule it. We do it every day and we don't schedule it. It's like sometimes we spill something in the kitchen and it's not very much. It doesn't seem like it's very much, but it spreads out across the entire kitchen floor. And that little amount over a couple of square yards, square meters, takes hours to clean up. It's like mercury rolling into the corners of everything, right? It's like the sociologist would say, Wilson would say about ants. Each one isn't very big, but there are so many of them. They add up to be the single most numerous species on the planet by far. I think there are more ants than every other organism, every other living organism on the planet. And that's what email is, a scourge of ants.
Good. Okay, so we schedule time for email. How do we schedule? We schedule, like, I guess I could do it. I mean, I could schedule, 6 hours a day and I'd probably get through it.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, you'd be really ineffective after the first hour. Look, it's easy. There's been lots of work done on this. The most effective people when it comes to email, schedule times 3 times a day. That's what works best based on the vast majority of executives we work with.
So four hours in the morning, 4 hours in the early afternoon, and 4 hours.
4 hours after evening. 10 o'clock at night when you're really crisp and sharp and you want to write the long emails asking for more budget.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. You do it once pretty early in the morning, once at the middle of the day, and then once before you go home at night. Okay. Now, note, we didn't say first thing. We generally don't recommend email first thing when you come in. There's some who do it then. If you have a really email intensive culture, some technology cultures and so on, engineering software and so on, it's first thing you do is email. And we're not going to tell you not to, but we will say this. If you do email first thing, and you're not incredibly disciplined, we have found that a lot of managers, a lot of executives, if you're not disciplined about if we're not disciplined about what we intend to accomplish that day, we end up substituting the activities required through other people's emails. We substitute that for our analysis and reasoning regarding our resource of time. And suddenly our day ends up us actioning other people's requests of us through email rather than us putting time on our calendar, sticking to that time regarding our priorities. If you schedule time for your priorities, you will get stuff done on your priorities. And even though that gives you less time for email and for running things down and so on, you'll discover that because you have a limit on that time, you'll be more efficient with it. And that's the upside of work expanding to fill the time allotted to do it. If you schedule time for it and it's less than you used to schedule, you'll probably do it just as well. And you'll have done it in less time, giving you more of your resource back. Okay. So look, you can do email first thing in the morning and allow what you had planned on doing that day to be superseded, but you really can't ethically do that and then complain you didn't have enough time to get all your work done or to accomplish all of your objectives when it comes to end of year performance review, because you can't say, well, I was doing stuff that came in emails, right? Because I do email first thing in the morning.
Right. So, okay. So you might come into work, say 7:30 in the morning, and then you spend an hour reviewing your schedule, getting ready for your 9 o'clock meeting. Maybe reviewing slides for an afternoon staff meeting. And then at 8 a.m., after, you've been there half an hour, you dive
half an hour, right?
Spend 45 minutes on it, and then you're done with it.
45 minutes and be done with it. And And I know there's some people whose heads are exploding, and we respect you. We love you. And we have two comments here for those of you who are listening who would say, you don't understand, my organization runs on email. Yeah, we do. Because we've worked there. We do that now. We hear this a lot. We hear it also about IM, right? If the phrase I hear is, if you're in, you're on, which is dumb, but okay. We live in the real world. If it's dumb, but it's real, we'll talk about it. And that means if you're at your desk and you're into work, you're on instant messaging or on mail, right? We totally respect that it's your firm's culture. We think it's wildly inefficient. We believe it's a poor choice of culture, okay? And it can be changed. And anything inefficient in doses the size of email means it's going to be vastly ineffective on a large scale. It's going to just be terribly ineffective. But look, we respect that you're living there and you fear the repercussions of not being in on things or not knowing what's going on or being perceived as out of the loop or being notified late of a big deliverable or notified late of a change to an existing big deliverable. Or you're not able to see a growing storm coming to be able to prepare to defend yourself against it. Look, these are all totally legitimate reasons to fear not being plugged into email all the time. We're not going to assume here that we can talk you out of your addiction. We know what you fear, and we respect your fear. And hopefully you'll allow us to offer a couple of thoughts. First of all, there's a simple kind of funny acronym that fear is actually just an acronym, which stands for FEAR, false expectations appearing real. The fact is 90% of what all of us worry about as human beings every day is grounded in non-reality. 90% of this stuff is outside of our circle of influence and outside even of our circle of concern. 90% of the stuff we're afraid of happening that's bad never does ever happen. Okay. We just make up stuff that could go wrong. We'd like to suggest, managers would like to suggest to you that we have plenty of examples of stuff happening that someone didn't know about where nothing happened to that someone, right? Where a bad thing, where something occurred and nothing bad happened. But because the person didn't know anything bad happened, because the person didn't know the original event happened and they didn't realize, because they didn't know that, they didn't see a repercussion of themselves. They don't realize that that's actually a positive outcome. They took action X. They got response Y from the environment, and response Y didn't hurt them. But because they didn't know why happened, they didn't know that it didn't cause them to get hurt. And that is an enormous attribution error relative to the way we act in a social organization. You know, think about it. Imagine us saying, hey, something happened. I didn't even know it happened. And nothing bad happened to me because of it. That's not the way the world works.
Yeah, but don't you think that if Geithner had spent a little bit more time on email, he would have known about those bonuses?
Yeah, that's it. That, in fact, I think that's the whole key right there.
Yeah,
I think that's the key to the banking crisis and the political crisis.
I'm just saying. If you just a little more email, a little bit more in touch.
God, I want to be smart like you.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, in the same way that news doesn't cover safe airplane landings, dramatic events make the news, and because of that, they tend to overwhelm non-events in our emotionally driven minds. There are no more natural disasters now than there were 50 years ago, but we all think there are more because CNN brings it to us every 5 seconds. And if it's not what the talking head is talking about, it's on the crawl on the bottom of the page. Every single instance of a negative repercussion that might be attributed to a lack of email, time, or mastery or devotion gets ascribed to email neglect, gets blown into a big deal, and we fear it, and so we spend more time in email. Now email neglect has become a sin, and all kinds of things having nothing to do with that sin get related to that, and it's just not accurate. So we'd like to suggest that your emotional response to the logic is skewed, and we've lived that as well, so we're not pointing fingers at you. We recognize it about ourselves as well.
Yeah. I'm going to stop saying that the excess of bonuses was a result of failure to pay attention to email. Sorry.
Good. That might get a line that gets excerpted out of the podcast. These guys think that it was email.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. And look, going back to our earlier point about executives not responding to mail, they're not getting into trouble, folks. They got an email and they're not getting into trouble. And yet we somehow don't seem to ascribe that outcome to a lack of time spent on email. We don't think, well, gee, they didn't get in trouble, so therefore I can get away with it. And that's because our fear is not rational. We know thousands of managers and executives who schedule time 3 times a day to handle mail. And many of them at email intensive companies, they're doing just fine and they're not making any headlines. And you don't know about it because there's no negative dramatic events. So we recommend trying to overcome your fear And just because you believe a bad thing is going to happen, you actually have to have data that it did happen. And a bad thing is not, hey, aren't you on mail? That's not a bad thing. That's just a question. And remember, it's just false expectations appearing real. This is the other thing that bothers me. And I don't rant anymore because I've learned that great members out there, some of them don't like it, but I still feel passionately about management and particularly about management done wrong.
So this is not a rant. This is a passionate moment. But
let's think about it for a moment. People say, I can't be off email. You know, gosh, I'm at my desk. I got to do email. Okay. But folks, what happens when you're in a meeting with your boss? You're not on mail. What if you're in a skip level meeting with your boss's boss and there's only 20 people in the room and it's small? You're not on mail. What about during your annual review? You're not on mail. Coaching your kids in soccer? You're not on mail. Church, synagogue, prayers at the mosque? Not on mail. Dinner with your family? Not on mail, unless you're in trouble. When you're working out during the day? Not on mail. Showering? Not on mail. Drinking coffee, walking to your desk? Not on mail. Some people. During one-on-ones? Not on mail. Whether with your directs? Not on mail. Or with your boss? Not on mail. Prepping for a budget meeting in the CFO's office at his conference table? Not on mail. On an airplane? Not on mail yet. Going through security? Not on mail. The fact is, those moments when you aren't doing email are legion, and nothing bad is happening to you. And we need to help you expand the amount of time you spend not doing mail so you can do your priorities. We're making up these consequences in our head. They're largely false. And because they are so false, but the benefits of taking this smaller than you thought risk can be huge in terms of your effectiveness. It's worth it to start cutting back on being on email all the time.
Good. All right. So getting back to the details of our suggestions here, you recommended doing a midday check, right?
Yeah. If you've gotten in before everybody else, or even, you know, you just got in and you did email before your boss has gotten in. If you only did it in the morning and at the end of the day, you wouldn't want to wait to the end of the day to answer all the mails that your boss may have sent you, right? So you schedule some time to go through email either before or during or after lunch, depending upon what you do during your lunchtime. 30 minutes. Some people need 45. Some people need 15. Now, I know some people say, Mark, 45 minutes, three times a day? That's too much. I said, well, you told me you were on mail all dang day.
Right.
So which is it, right? Do you just want to be slovenly or do you want to be professional? Okay, so you've got time in the middle of the day, anywhere between 15 to 45 minutes. And then again, schedule some time every day for email before you leave work. And we're not saying 10 o'clock at night, right? We're not saying here that you schedule time at 10 o'clock at night. Look, we know you're doing email when you get home. We're not telling you not to do that.
Yeah, it's impressive. I mean, that's I found in my career that doing email, I mean, 10 o'clock, I guess that's okay. That's for the slackers of the world. If you really want to impress people, you got to do it like 2 or 3 in the morning.
And
that's when it works.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to impress somebody and you think you're doing it at 10 o'clock in the morning, we'll let you have your fantasy. But we're not going to tell you don't do email before you go to bed. If you want to do email before you go to bed, fine, that's up to you. But what we mean here is that you schedule a third session of email each day, yes, each day, all 5 days of the week, toward the end of your workday before you go home. If there's one that tends to be pretty standard for many, many people, not most, but for many, many folks, it's the last thing they do before they go home. And here's the totality of this. We're recommending 3. Some of you could probably get away with 2, although we don't recommend first thing and last thing, because that means if you get something from your boss at 10 o'clock in the morning and you're not actioning at 5, you don't look real good. And now everything takes overnight with you and bosses don't like that. Maybe you would do it at 8 o'clock in the morning, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know. But our point here is that we have to corral the time we spend on email. We've got to respect Parkinson's law and put it into smaller and smaller blocks of time. If you want to manage your attention, and we assure you that you do if you want to be more successful, then you have to address the 900-pound gorilla of email that is totally messing up your schedule. If you get the rest of your schedule in order and you leave email untouched, it is like trying to win a boxing contest with one arm. It can't be done.
Good. Okay. And then the second point we're going to make is pretty clear. Then you schedule it 3 times a day, we're suggesting. And then the other piece of that is you only do email when it's scheduled, with some very rare exceptions.
Yeah. Look, the only reason we put this in here is I was telling people, I started talking to people who were really effective, and they said, look, I had to get a handle on email. I started doing it in limited times, and suddenly I got better during my day. I had big blocks of time available. The two biggest time savers that I'm aware of for any professional person today in a reasonably large organization, bigger than 150, thanks to the rule of 150, are getting a handle on email by scheduling it and one-on-ones. Those are the two biggest giver-backers of time that I know of. But what I discovered was people would schedule three times a day and they would still be doing mail all during the day because, ooh, wanted to get to that one. Ooh, I can do that one now. Ooh, I can slip that one in. It's only 5 seconds, Mark. Ooh, look, here's another 5 second one. It's a C-level priority, but I can do it now and I get a little bit of juice when I do it. I'm checking off things in my inbox.
Right. Well, we're not. Yeah, that kind of defeats the whole purpose. We're not suggesting that you schedule email three times a day because we know you don't have enough time to do it. And so we just want to make sure that you have at least three times a day to get to it. That's not the point.
Right. Exactly. This is what happens, Mike. I mean, and you've watched people do this when we recommend it. They schedule it and they think this is to allow me to focus on email during that time. And so those emails that I do in that 45 minutes are the ones that are important ones, but I still do email throughout the day. No, we don't mean that. We mean you do email only in the time you have it scheduled. If it's not on your calendar to do an email, you don't do email. And we'll talk more specifically about how to have that happen.
This is almost opposite of how we typically think about scheduling folks on their calendars, right? We tell people, we tell executives and managers all the time, look, what are your priorities? And we look at their calendar and we find out whether or not their priorities are on their calendar.
Yeah.
And if it's not, we got a real big problem there. And in this case, we're actually telling people, schedule this stuff only three times on your calendar so that you don't spend any more time on it.
Yes. What we're essentially doing is sweeping the dust that will make our room dirty into the corner and out of the way so we don't trip and fall on it. Right. And we're keeping the important parts of the floor shiny. Right? We're not scheduling time just to help us kind of get through some of our mail. We're saying that other than during those specific time slots, we don't do any mail at all. This is not a special trick to deal with email. It is allotting time to our email to help us to be good at it. And you will get good at it when you start scheduling time, particularly when you put it together with our next point, which is finishing all your mail in the time you have allotted. So don't cheat, folks. And yet, as you mentioned, there needs to be rare exceptions. We've all been there in workplace when somebody says, oh my gosh, have you seen the latest mail from the VP or the CEO or the exec? It's got the new assignments on it for the end of week board presentations. Oh my God, I want to know that, right? If it comes in at 10 a.m., folks, go look at it. It's okay. If budgets are coming out, if first cut budgets are coming back from the CFO's office, okay, go look. That's a reasonable exception. And look, it's the same way it's reasonable that if one of your kids calls you from the school nurse's office when you're in a meeting with the boss, that's different than your kid just calling you. Okay? You're probably going to leave that meeting. That's a good exception to meeting with the boss and focusing.
Yeah. And if you have 10 exceptions every single day, it's not an exception anymore.
Yeah, you're over-accepting.
Right. Good.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now, your third point here is, you know, frankly, I think this is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, which is I can't get through my email spending 8 hours a day on it. How the heck can you expect me to finish all my mail in these small 3 45-minute at most blocks you've given me?
Well, I'm sure we're going to talk about Twitter a little bit because I made myself infamous when the first thing I ever said about Twitter was I hated it. So I'm sure Twitter is going to be an interesting point of this cast. And I know it's a long cast, but folks, I'm telling you, your attention and email are two of the most important things that affect you every minute of your professional life in the office and, of course, now at home at night, thanks to BlackBerries and iPhones.
Good point. But you're avoiding the answer to the question because you know you don't have one.
No. I actually do. I was building up to it dramatically, okay?
Oh, okay.
And speaking slowly so you keep up. Okay. Look, dude, this is the most important point in this podcast. This point right here. It's the hidden gem. It is my favorite thing. If I am up against somebody for a promotion and I'm doing this and they're not, I win.
Well, of course, because it's magic. It can't be done. So, of course, yeah. The hidden gem.
Nice. Yeah, exactly. It's like that organic chemistry test I took once where they give you a molecule and then they say, start with this. And use any reagents or catalyst you want, and then end up with this. And of course, it always had a picture of a benzene ring in it. And it had different things sticking off the side. And you had to do things to it that would make it actually change. And I realized about 40 steps through what I thought was a 60-step process that I had misread one of the ammoniums or nitrate groups on the side of this benzene ring.
Hey, I thought I'd interject here. If you think you're the only person wondering where this is going, believe me, you are not. Just thought you'd want to know. It's okay. So let's see where he's going with this thing.
And literally the first 40 steps were leading me exactly where I didn't want to go. And so my 41st step was, poof, a miracle occurs. And I wrote down the final compound and I got some credit actually. Yeah. So this is just like that. It's magic.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
What's the incantation?
One of the problems with Parkinson's law about work expanding to fill the time available is that, as I mentioned earlier, if you have no schedule for it, we all become enormously inefficient at that work because the work just spreads out across our kitchen floor. Okay. Email takes us all a lot longer to do than almost any other equivalent task which we schedule simply because we do not schedule email and there is so much of it. I get as much mail. I'm sure there's somebody out here who gets 600 mails a day. I get about 300 or so, but I get as much mail as 99% of you, if not more. And I get it all done 3 times a day without fail. And the way you do that is that you don't think that those three times a day are for making a dent in your mail. What you do is you take your inbox, you start the clock, and you have a goal that in 45 minutes or 30 minutes or however much time you have, you will finish all of your mail. You no longer think, I'm going to process this mail and then this mail and then this mail. What you have to do is get it done by a certain amount of time. Now, that is such a hard concept for people. They're like, oh my gosh, Mark, that just seems so weird. And yet virtually every other professional endeavor we have in our lives is built and lived around deadlines. We have a PowerPoint, it's due at a certain time, budgets are due at a certain time, expense reports are due at a certain time, plane reservations are due at a certain time, planes take off at certain times, buses, trains, subways, they all take off on certain times, deadlines rule our lives. And what we've discovered is cognitively, we don't lose any effectiveness by taking less time on email. It makes you absolutely rigorous about saying, I'm not answering that one. I don't need to spend 10 minutes on that one. I don't need to build a relationship with that person. That request is unnecessary. That's a CC. I don't need to read it yet. I can put that aside. I'll read it this weekend and it'll be a task, but I'm not going to do it now because there's no action to take on this email other than this reading. And I don't need to report that I've read something. Okay. Your goal in each one of these sessions is to complete actions on all of the emails you've received by the time the scheduled time is up. The purpose of these times is to finish your email. I'm amazed. People say, yeah, I'm using your email technique, Mark. And I look at their inbox and they have 16,000 mails in their inbox. No, sorry, you're not. The best inbox has zero in it. And if you're thinking that it can't be done, it's because you're thinking inefficiently. And I apologize for saying this. I don't want to burst your bubble, but it's because you're thinking inefficiently about mail. I know CEOs of multi-billion-dollar companies who get just as much email from a lot of brilliant technical executives and people who love email and hate face-to-face communications and don't want to use voicemail and never set it up and never even check their voicemail. Their admins do it for them. And they get 300 emails a day and they get through it every single day. And I know managers who do it too. So there's no sense in scheduling time for email if you're going to apply that same standard, which is I'll see what I can get done here. Doing it at the same speed with no goal for completion, it's probably worse than not scheduling any time at all. And look, I've been pretty passionate about this. There's plenty of you who are still doubting. We understand that. And yet we know many, many, many execs and managers who get over 300, as I've said, and they get it all done, every single one, every day. And they make their goal getting all of the mail done and they feel rushed and nobody notices in terms of their responses on emails. They send a lot less fluff mail like thank you or got it or appreciate it, dude. Although you can do that if you believe you could build a relationship that way. Look, when we set a time standard, it focuses us on our task. In other words, you know, if you're going to let mail happen throughout the day, then you don't feel like there's any standard to it. You're just going to try to get through it as you go. But if you set the time standard, you're going to get focused. And when we get focused, naturally, we tend to establish a quality standard as well that we can measure ourselves against. And look, once we have a measure, we can improve. That's another problem with email. We all complain about it, and rightfully so, but it's not the email that's the problem. It's our behavior around the email. So again, if you set a standard, if you set a measure, we can start measuring it. We can start improving. Even if the first few times you try this, the first few days you do this, you don't get through all of your mail, you're going to start to feel differently about it when you realize, man, no one's complaining about my mail. I'm getting, there's no appreciable quality reduction, and yet I'm getting more of my mail done faster because of this change. And that's one of the ways you're going to improve. And by the way, executives that we know, when they start looking at their mail, when they realize they're trying to get through all of it in 45 minutes, they're trying to action it to go through to the bottom of their inbox in a GTD kind of way, if you will. The standards that a lot of executives use, they say, who is it from? In other words, I'm going to action stuff from my boss first rather than me being CC'd on something, which, by the way, I get CC's and I don't read them. And the second thing is it directly related to one of my key objectives based on what we know? And look, if it's not related to key objectives, or if it's not from somebody that we really believe is going to break through and get our attention or give us something that's of value, goes to the bottom of the priority pile. We do that in so many other things. And yet for some reason, when it comes to mail, we allow it to just be jumbled up and we go through it in order, wasting a lot of time. And then maybe at the end, not having time for the most important email in the bunch because it's at the bottom and, oh, we got to go to another meeting or what have you. And let's be clear about this. Sometimes getting through our mail is making a decision. I don't have time for everything. I have to choose what to do. By the way, when is that not true? I don't have time for everything. I have to choose what to do.
Right.
And then the last point is, and I'm going to choose to not answer in detail these 12, these 15, these 30 mails. And if I've got 300, but 75 of them are CCs, now there are only 225 of them that require a response. I don't know. Perhaps people would disagree, but don't you think if I get a CC, I'm not required to respond?
You are not. No, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And important point, those other 75, those CCs, I'm done with them now. They're done. I've actioned them. The action was the decision. I don't look at them. Yeah, you may have to go back later and look at them, and you may not. And quite frankly, it's unlikely you will.
Right. Okay. So there's the magic that I was asking about, that you are using magic because you're just deleting emails.
Well, I guess what I would say is, I don't want to be willy-nilly about it, but all I'd say is this: we have too much to do. I've said this many times. You and I both said this many times before. If you have too much to do, it is the manager or executive's job to, tongue-in-cheek, decide what is not going to get done.
Right, because something's not going to get done.
Exactly. We know that. I mean, again, has everybody listening gone home every night of their professional lives with all their work done? Never. It just doesn't happen. It's the nature of work. There's always more to do. And yet, for some reason, we're never taught what are the criteria by which we decide what to do. At least with email, there are some general rules.
Well, that's it, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll finish up this topic next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.